To the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to read our golden text, and then I'm going to say something to you about money cometh that is quite valuable. This is a money revival. This is a prosperity revival. The body of Christ is not suffering for prayer. They're not suffering as I travel. They're not suffering for praising the Lord. They're praising the Lord. But the greatest malady I find, a snare I find in the body of Christ is financially. They're not really tapping in on the resources that Father God has provided for them. And we're going to share some reason why poverty has stricken the church to a large degree. And if poverty has stricken the church, that means individuals who are in the church are going to be stricken by poverty. We want to share some reason why poverty has stricken the church. We've talked about various things. Last night we were talking about yielding what you have to God and He will multiply. And we really didn't get through in that section. We might touch it a little bit tonight, but there are some other things. I mean, it's constantly saying. Now, tonight we're going to talk about how to survive until the prosperity arrives. You know, most of us waiting for it. So the Lord won't tell us how to survive until it arrives. It's on the way. And one of the things I'm going to tell you how to position yourself for prosperity. There's a certain position that you will have to get into for the prosperity of God. And then after you position yourself, there's a certain progressive programming you must go through. And then the power will make itself available. Amen? So if people don't know these principles and these steps, they will be fighting a losing battle, and they'll give up for to get where they're going. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." And I tell you why. That he may establish his covenant. That he may establish his what?
Covenant.
God's covenant is a covenant of wealth. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. God's covenant is the covenant of wealth. God desires for your needs to be met and your desires to come to you because you are his children. Now remember that. He said, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." To get wealth. Why would God want to say this? To get wealth. To get health? No, wealth. What did he say? Wealth. I see a W. What you see? A H? No, he said wealth. Everybody say wealth.
Wealth.
All right, he gave you power to get wealth. Then he may establish his covenant, which he swore unto thy father, as it is this day. And I shared with you that you are Abraham's seed. Yeah. Now the Bible says Abraham was very rich. And God made him rich. One time a man wanted to give him some money. In a battle, they didn't want to give him some of the spoils. And Abraham said, no. Feed them boys, they give them something. But I don't want nothing because I don't want you to say you made me rich. God is my God and he's the God of prosperity. Then in the 35th Psalm, we need to read that. In the 35th Psalm, these two texts are our golden texts. And I just want to read them every night. We're going to go on and on and on and on and on until the Lord tell us stop. Hallelujah. 35th Psalm and the 27th verse. Let them shout for joy. Well, shout hallelujah anyway.
Hallelujah.
Let them shout for joy, he says. Shout for joy. Boy, it's joyous. It's joyous to get up from that bill table. Everybody know about the bill table, that debt table. Oh, everybody on that table hollering at you. Send mine. Hallelujah. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yes, let them say continuously, and I'm instructed for us to say this tonight. Let the Lord be magnified.
Let the Lord be magnified.
Everybody in the house, let the Lord, be magnified.
Go
ahead and say it. Come on.
Let the Lord be magnified.
One of the ways that the Lord can be magnified in your life is that you permit him to do for you what he desired to do for you in full measure. That's one of the ways he can be magnified. Let him do for you. Put yourself in a position that he can do it for you. He want to do it for you, I'm telling you. But you see, you initiate it here on earth that heaven can come to your rescue. Say it one more time. Let the Lord be magnified.
Let the Lord be magnified.
All right, he said, let the Lord be magnified, which have pleasure in the prosperity of his servant. Now let's go over a few things before we go to our text for tonight. We're actually talking about money cometh to the body of Christ as an overall theme. Money cometh to the body of Christ. God want to get his children financially stable, financially able to support their families, but by the same time financially able to support the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, to evangelize the world that all men might have the opportunity to be saved. But if we don't have it, we can't do it. So God, I thank God, has given me these two prophetical words, money cometh, and explained to me to tell the body of Christ to say this, and we'll say it again tonight. I'll never be broke.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life.
Another day in my life.
Hallelujah. That's one of the things he told me to instruct the body of Christ. See yourself not broke. And then he said to me, money cometh really means there will be a continuous flow of money coming in to you at all times. Now, if you deal with these two words, I mean, they're not my word. They're regular, common English word. But my God, they have caused such a flow of finances to come into the body of Christ throughout the world. Foreign countries got a hold of them now. Money. Girl from Nigeria got a hold of it. Money come at me. And we here, we don't want to be robbed of what God has want us to have and let everybody enjoy the blessing but us. No, we're not going to let that happen. No, because because money cometh to us. And we are coming out of debt. And we're coming into that land in which the Lord has provided for us. Hallelujah. Y'all believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. Say money coming.
Money coming.
Say it again.
Money coming.
Say it again.
Money coming.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now here's a few things I should have said to you the first night. You know, that's why it's good to don't miss no night. Money cometh to you. As you stand on these two words and scriptures that the Lord's going to give us, without you trying to figure out where it will come from, just let it come, because God said so. That's one of the things he told me. Don't stop and trying to figure out now. Let me see, Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben ain't going to give you a quarter. Don't depend on Uncle Ben and Aunt Sue. Depend on the Lord. Amen. If they haven't, Uncle Ben haven't given you nothing yet, and you've been here all this time, you can just forget it. Then some people waiting on somebody to die. Then after they die, they think they got it, but then somebody else show up who wasn't supposed to be in the inheritance, start a big argument. Then it's tied up in a law system for 50 years. Then you're too old to spend it then. The body of Christ, this is what the Spirit of God said to me. The body of Christ, we'll get to the subject matter in a few moments. The body of Christ, the sons and daughters of God, are not in the position or condition financially that their father has provided for them and desire for them to be in. Another reason the Lord said he gave me these words, money coming, is to release the body of Christ from bondage and to release the work of God to its full potential in the earth's realm. Hallelujah. The wicked has our money because they're willing to obey their master. Do this with me. Ouch. Yeah, I heard that. I heard the Spirit of the Lord say that. He said, tell them while you're teaching them. I had these notes 2 or 3 days, but you know, I looked over and I didn't say it. He said, be sure to tell them tonight. The wicked has our money because they are willing to obey their master. But our master is stronger than their master if we obey our master. Our master will take our money back and give it back to us. Amen?
Amen.
Now, hallelujah. You remember we talked about last night, yield what you have to God and he will multiply it. And we saw that widow, you know, yield what you had to God. I had the lad lunch and I had Peter who yield his business to the Lord. But maybe we'll talk about it a little bit after a while, but let's talk about how to survive until prosperity arrive. That's where most of us at, waiting on it, you know. We got the revelation now, money coming. Now you must have the revelation now that God don't want you broke. Right? And you must have an understanding that it doesn't make any difference what type of background or what type of natural heritage that you've come from. Your inheritance now is not based on the natural, it's based upon the supernatural. You got to get that in mind. You're born of God's Spirit, you're in God's family now, and God has certain things for you because you are his child. You can understand that, right? So we're not dealing with natural blessing, natural inheritance, natural prosperity. Actually, class, we're dealing with supernatural prosperity that can come to any child of God that plug in to the divine will of God and put themselves in a position that God can pour out supernatural manifestation of his prosperity in their life. Hallelujah. And that's why we're here. We're here to put ourselves in that position. So turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I tell you, one of the things is taking the scriptures out of context and claiming them and don't know what they were saying caused us to suffer. Quoting scripture one by one without looking into context, because most scriptures are conditional. And you quote the scripture without meeting the condition and you stay in the same condition. Y'all listening out there? See, just because you found your nice scripture that say what you wanted to say and you learn that scripture and begin to quote that scripture doesn't mean that what that scripture say is going to come your way unless you have met the condition of what that scripture had promised. Now, you at Philippians, let me say a few things before we read these scriptures. If you're going to survive until prosperity arrives, the first thing you're going to have to do is take hold of prospering by faith. Take hold of prosperity by faith. Say that with me. Take hold of prosperity by faith. That's why you first must have it, by faith. God would not do anything without faith for it. Doing this series or doing this prosperity revival, all I'm doing is pumping faith in you for prosperity. And you'll find yourself, if you're listening, that revelation of busting your spirit, and you just can't see yourself broke, you can't feel broke, you can't be broke. Because you're tapping into that divine system. Are you listening to me? Now, that's another thing you have to do. Begin to develop a clear understanding of what the prosperity of God is really for. See, because we got these people who think it's just for houses and cars and clothes and to have plenty of money in your pocket to see how blessed you are. But that's not really the real reason for prosperity, even though that's a part of it. But the main thing is God wants you to fulfill his covenant, and he wants to get this gospel out. Therefore, you cannot take God's prosperity and hoard it up for yourself. That's why we read in our major text, he found, first of all, he humbled you. Boy, the worst thing can happen is these two fellas to run together, pride and prosperity. You're talking about a shipwreck going somewhere to happen. So God has to get pride out of you before he can give you plenty. Now, I'm going to say, I know some of y'all think y'all sweet humbleness. But you don't know if you get plenty of money in your hand, what you're going to do. You can talk that talk now, but I love the Lord. But you get plenty of money in your hand, because see, some people are desperate, and that's the only way out to stay with the Lord. And some, until they change their thinking, God's going to let them stay in desperation, because if he don't, they're going to leave. Say, that's not me. Amen. Those persons are not here tonight. That's good preaching, boy. You get people on your side if you say that, you know. Oh, we got a few slipped in. Amen. But you see, you have to develop a clear understanding of what the prosperity of God is really for. Are you listening to me? And then the Holy Ghost had me to write a word on that and underline when I made that statement. He says balance. Balance in that aspect. Here's another thing. See, I want to give you quite a few things tonight. Refuse to grumble or complain about your situation another day. Matter of fact, I'll go one better. Don't tell nobody your condition. Dress up, smile big, and act like you got $1 million. Some think because of crying and making these reports, someone gonna give them $1. They might give you a sympathy 20, but you'll never get out of debt, because they're not gonna give you enough to get out of debt. They'll just feel sorry for you and give you 100. My God, if you're in $10,000 worth of debt and the point give you 100, you'll be a while. So listen to this. Refuse to grumble or complain about your situation another day. Now, be honest about it. Grumbling and complaining. That's 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Y'all ever grumble? Anybody ever grumble and complain about their situation? You know, if I just had more. Some people, you're not going to get blessed by nagging the Lord. The Lord don't go for no nagging, and the Lord don't go for no bragging. You see. Now, you can make a report, and it sounds like you're bragging. But you're just reporting about what the good things the Lord has done for you. The Lord have told men, go tell your friends what good things the Lord has done for you. That's a report, or that's a testimony. The Bible said in Revelation, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So it's something about testifying to truth of the good thing that God has done for you. Here's another thing that the Lord said. If you're going to survive now, and most of us headed toward prosperity, he says, begin to rejoice that he is the God that will bring you out. We haven't read the scripture yet. I'm building you up for these scriptures. Begin to rejoice that he is the God that will bring you out. Bring you out of debt, distress, and discontentment. He is the one. And you have to rejoice. Just get all your bills and put them on the floor and just dance over them. I know somebody going to do it too. Put them out in the center of the floor, say, here we go, bills, and get on top of them and just dance. Do the slide on them. Amen. Amen. I tell you, I've done all kind of things. I tell you, my spirit tell me to do something, you know, I do it. I don't care how silly it seems. Some people don't want to do it. But I'm telling you what, it brought me out. Whatever he tell me to do with it, you know. If he tell me to take all your bills and wave them to the left, I'll wave them to the left. Well, see, whatever kind of instruction God gives you, sometimes he's trying you to see, do you really trust him? Now, you see, you just can't go on another point in experience. See, he'll tell you what he wants you to do. Now, here's another thing. Oh, this is wonderful. Do not panic when it doesn't look good. It is the enemy trying to pull you off the trail of prosperity. Do not panic when it does not look good. It's the enemy at that time when it doesn't look good, when you've got revelation on the thing, he'll try to pull you off the trail of prosperity by putting roadblocks and little things in your way, you know. Now, he ain't going to let you out free. He going to fight. He going to bluff you. He going to try to tough you to keep you from going on, you know. And then here's another thing. Ignore others who are hecklers as you begin to prosper. Yeah, they going don't pay them no mind. Keep going. Look straight ahead. Wave at them. But don't stop to be offended. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, notice in, if you don't have it all, you get it on tape, you know. Philippians chapter 4. You there, I hope. All right. I'm going to begin reading at verse 10. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lack opportunity. Now, notice what he says here in this 11th verse. You'll find some of the things that I say to you in principle. You'll find it in the scripture here. Apostle Paul says here to the Philippian church, and I believe the Holy Spirit had it put down for us to understand how to flow and how to receive from God. Paul said in the 11th verse, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. See, I said that to you in a few moments ago. See, wherever you are now, just have contentment with commitment and trust in God. Don't look at somebody else because they got more than you. Remember, and these things are coming up as I speak, remember you are unique within yourself. Take your eyes off the other fellow, what he has. And, you know, just concentrate on what God wants you to do. See, you learn this. You need to learn this. I had, in talking to Pastor Percy and his wife who went to lunch today, in talking with him, and I was telling him, progressively how God exalted the ministry and exalted us in life. And I got two brothers, members of this church. They're both here tonight. I think they're both here. Yeah, they're both here, my sister-in-law. When I quit my job, I didn't tell nobody. When they knew it, I had already quit. But they can't ever say that I came to their house, asked for rice, butter, bread, $1, $2, $2. Never did. And I know I could get it from my sister-in-law. They love me dearly. But I had to walk this wine press. I had to trade this thing for this day to be able to tell you, I know for sure it worked. You see what I'm saying? See, you got to go through a certain system in order. Anybody can go through it with a flower bed of ease all the time, but they really don't know if it worked. You're guessing about it. But I'm not guessing. And you know, some way it seemed like God suspended my mind when I didn't have nothing just to trust him, and I act like I was rich all the time. They could tell you I never changed the straw. I mean, they said, let's have a picnic. I said, well, how much I got to put? I might have had to put it, if it was $40 or $25, might have been our last $25. We put it like this. Let the picnic go on. We're going there laughing and eating. They thought we had $1 million in our pocket. We was broke as two frogs on a rug catching a ride. But I'm telling you, people talk about living by faith. Most people don't know nothing about living by faith. Most people don't know about living by faith. If you got your confidence in that job you got, you're not living by faith. Are you listening to me? Your confidence, sure you work, but your confidence is in God. So go back to verse 11. See, if you can't master verse 11, listen, I'm sharing some things with you. When you're on the runway from poverty to prosperity, it take that, 747, that plane? It take that Boeing 747 a while to get off the runway. It seemed like a while. You could have went in your car because it's still on the ground. See, on the runway, you got to be patient because that pilot is in the front. He's constantly pulling that lever, whatever way it got to go, to make that thing to lift up and get up off the ground. So you got to know how to handle the runway from poverty to prosperity. Be consistent in faith. So there's one way here. Not that I speak in respect, Paul said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned. In whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Have you learned that yet? I got not many amen on that. See, but you got to learn. You got to learn no matter what, if you got the revelation of abundance and the revelation of prosperity, just be joyous where you are, knowing that it is a temporary situation. And it is. We never complain. Point is, there she is. She never heard me complain. There's Roy, I was a family member. They never heard us complain. Never gripe. I never look back at BSF Wyandotte. When I pass there, sometimes I hit my passing gear. Because I know the Lord sent me away from there. Are you following me? We never look back. I just knew God. I never thought about it. I said, boy, if I had my job, we could have this, have that. I never thought about that. The Lord told me to leave. I left. I'm gone forever. I'm trying to give you the process. You already got the privilege by being a son and a daughter of God. But most people will not pay the price to be prosperous. Get that down, please. There's a price you have to pay. Well, you say, now, what you mean the price I got to pay? I got to pay for prosperity? There's a price in your life. There's a price in your disposition. There's a price of commitment that you have to pay. And there's a price that God has to know that he can trust you with his goods. You're not going to tip him and pay the world. So the Apostle Paul, I'm telling you, we're going to a place in this scripture. I need to go to two other scriptures. We're going to a place in this scripture going to really bless you. I'm working you now. I'm working you to understand there's a position you got to get yourself in order to be prosperous. And then you have to know that it's progressive. It's like Leroy Jr. is 19, Clayton is 6. Leroy Jr., I bought him a 410 shotgun. I can give it to him and let him go ahead out with the bullets or with the shell. I can give it to Leroy Jr. loaded with the safety off and tell him the safety is not on. Well, he probably just put the safety or not touch that trigger. But I can't give it to Clayton loaded. Clayton will pull everything he sees because he don't recognize how to handle it. Well, unless you get yourself in a position that Father God know that you're going to handle prosperity right, he's not going to permit you to have it. Paul talks over there to the Galatians. He said, though we be Lord of all, but you don't know it. You're Lord of all. I don't have time to go over there. Now, notice here in verse 12, Paul said, I know both how to be obeyed and I know how to abound. Know both. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Paul said, I'm not going to complain about it. Why, Paul? Well, I can do all things through Christ. And he actually going, this boy talking about finances, which strengthens me. Then he goes on to talk about, notwithstanding you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, now notice this right very closely, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. There's no receiving without giving. See, Paul said here, you're the only church that communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving. Everybody say giving and receiving. Now you have to understand, if you want to prosper, you have to understand, you have to learn how to give. Especially to God's program. Beyond the tide. If you're not tithing, you have to work on it. You're not in a position for God to bless you. There will never be any prosperity without being a tither. I'm going to show you people with money that is not prosperous. Yeah, because they don't have themselves fully covered by God. They're still out in the open. They got money, but they're still out in the open because they're not fully covered by God. They don't have full spiritual insurance. Amen. So everybody, I've been wanting to get to this part, everybody who has money not prosper. Are you listening to me? You see, real prosperity is, you know, you got money and Satan can't take you. God will watch that money for you if you ain't on his program. But man, it'll take one day. I know them boys was up there and one day they're down. Some role was working in the computer, some new kind of deal. And he was computerizing stuff out instead of putting stuff in. They got masters in stealing. Y'all better know that.
Yeah.
Amen. I sure want to get that tonight too, to show you a different type of poverty and a different type of prosperity. Let's go a little further here. Hey, you know he talks about underlying concern in giving and receiving. Now see, you got to get this matter straight. You got to get this. See, this is what you have to understand. God's system, listen to me closely, operate opposite to the world system. So here God say, to receive, it don't seem logical. You got to give. Look, if I'm trying to receive, don't like I should give nothing. I'm trying to receive something, not like I give, I got less. You see what I'm saying? Like if I got to give something, that don't like a smart way to receive something. Well, something going out, like if I want to receive, like something ought to be coming in. But his system is, you give, and he multiply. See, God will never, I said it to you last night, God will never let you outgive him. No way. No way. He will never let y'all give him. So now listen to this. Listen. You got concern in giving and receiving, right? All right. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity. They didn't give one time either. It's one time offer. Now, you may put in your note, I must be a consistent giver. Constantly giving. Constantly giving. Or I must consistently give. Say it.
I must consistently give.
Now don't lie to yourself now. Don't go to lying to yourself. It's better than somebody else lied to you. You know, I got you. Don't go to lying. I must consistently give. You know, the world said, gimme. You know what gimme means. Gimme. Gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all your gimme. Yeah, y'all know some Jimmies. Now, this next verse. If I read this next verse, some of y'all gonna come on the conviction. When I get through explaining this verse, the Lord gonna be in the house. Because this verse, years ago, God gave me some revelation on this verse. And if people can understand this next verse, man, it'll change their lives. Now, listen to what Paul said here now. Listen to what Paul said. Listen to how he said, not because I desire gift. Not because I'm not preaching tonight because I want you to put money in this church or because I desire some gift. Not because I desire gift. Listen to what Paul said. But I desire fruit. Come on, man. That may abound. Listen, this financial term, yeah, brother, to your account. You ever heard the word account?
Yeah.
What Paul saying? Paul's saying, as you make deposit into what God has called me to do, God is putting it on your account. And listen to this, you can, in a few moments I'm going to show you can withdraw from that account. You can go to God and say, look, I'm a supporter. I've given. I want you to do something about this situation.
Yeah.
This is how much I need. Thank you.
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. And get up from there. And it's a done thing. But you can't argue your case if you haven't done what you're supposed to do. You can't make no withdrawal if you don't have no deposit. Go to one of them banks and do it. Your name not in there, you know. Just go and tell them, say, you know, my name Ronald Goodrow. I need $1,800. No, $18,000, Shelby. $18,000. Man say, what? I say, all right. Nigga hit the computer. Ronald Goodrow. That's a G? Yeah, that's a G. Ronald Goodrow. How much you want? $18,000. That's a G. And then the lady says, sir, your name is not in the computer. I want $18,000. They say bank got money. I saw the other man just left out your account some money. I want some money too. My name is Ronald Goodrow and I want $18,000. This is a bank. You're supposed to have money and I need money. They said, wait a minute, sir. Let me check one more time. You know what you're doing, huh? Pushing that button and call security up here. Get this fool out of here. Well, that button being pushed on a lot of y'all. Y'all going to come out. I demand, Lord, I love you. The demon pushing the button. The name not in here. How many see it? Hold your hand up. There's no such thing, my brothers and sisters, as a withdrawal without a deposit. If I was not in a church or a storehouse where I can tithe and give offering and didn't have enough respect, I'd be running tonight trying to find me a place so I can do what the Lord wants me to do. Paul said, listen here, can you understand this? This is what he said. Not because I desire to give. Now, this might hurt some of y'all feeling, but let's hurt it. I don't need no give. Me personally. But we need to get money for this gospel to spread out, to support this gospel. So the gifts that come to you is for your benefit. Not for Word of Life Christian Center benefit or wherever you're from benefit. Listen to this one more time. Not because I desire give, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Now he's talking about concerning giving and receiving. See, we're about to burst your favorite verse. And you're wondering why it hasn't been working. Well, it can't work without the rest. See, the Bible don't play skip. Look what he said now. Look what he's going to say now. But I have all. You know what he's saying? I ain't dependent on you. And abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An odor. Look what he called the offering now with the gift. An odor of a sweet smell. In other words, money smells sweet to the Lord. Now some sacrilegious person said, "Listen, I'm not preaching about money smell. Lord ain't got nothing to do with no money." Religious person, you know. No, it takes money to move the gospel in this system. So yeah, it's an offering to God. It's a sacrifice you make to give. So God will see to it that you have more because you help propagating the gospel. Yeah. How many understand what I'm saying? Yeah. So he called money here the offering or the gift to give an order of a sweet smell. A sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Well, you know, the Lord talk about money a lot, yeah. Doesn't he? I can't hear y'all. Now, with all that in mind, coming from one dimension to another dimension. He said, remember he said concerning giving and receiving. Remember he said, and that other voice said, I want to put something in your account. Now, if you understand concerning giving and receiving, and if you deposit something in your account, then Paul said. But, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What I want you to notice as we're talking about surviving till the prosperity arrive, you have to give until you get down there. But my God, when God find out, when you give him a sweet smelling offering and a sacrificial offering and begin to give in concerning operating concerning giving and receiving, listen, God got it. He can channel it into you, but he got to make sure you're going to put it in the right place. Can you see that? Look at this, our favorite verse, but my God shall supply all your need. That's not for everybody. That verse is not even for every Christian. That's for every Christian who is in the will of God, doing what God wants him to do, supporting the gospel, tithing, giving offering, listening to the Spirit of God, giving what God tells them to give. Then they can claim that scripture, my God shall supply all my needs. You know, I talked to one of my members about giving. She ain't showed up another night in this revival. And I hadn't, I don't know how much she's giving, but I just talked to her a few minutes. I ain't never seen her saying. See, this revival is not a hallelujah revival, jerking and jumping all night. We danced one night, but this is instruction in righteousness and the things of God, making you solid so you can eat strong meat and that you can walk in prosperity and give the glory to God. Let's look at this different type of poverty. Now, different kinds of poverty. We see we hit the prosperity, but you got to understand poverty. There's poverty because of ignorance. That's one kind of poverty. People just don't know that they don't supposed to be poor. They haven't heard the word. Beloved, I wish above all things that prosper and be in health, and prosper even as your soul prosper. They haven't heard the teaching on how God become the supplier of all their need is by them first cooperating concerning giving and receiving. Amen? So there's a poverty of, there's some people who are candidates for prosperity, but they're still in poverty because they're ignorant with religious and traditional teaching that the more you have, the ungodly you are. Or the less you have, the more holier you are. How many ever heard some teaching like that? Don't have much, but I love the Lord. Another kind of poverty is because of ignored truth. Oh, my goodness. Ignored truth. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But there are those who hear the truth and ignore it and go on and do things the same way. They've been doing it. Got notes about it. Get happy in one meeting one night. And say, I'll give everything I got to the Lord. And after two nights when they come back down, you know, say, oh, I need this. Oh, my God, I can't do this. Lord, have mercy. When you see truth, you got to stick to it like glue. And don't change your course. Stick with the truth because the truth will bring you through. Poverty because of a good income. Oh, you're losing me now, Pastor. Poverty because of a good income. Think you don't need God? You got a good job, you know. You got your two cars and a little boat on the side. And, oh, man, you tough. I'm telling you, you're tough. But you're going to work and work and work. Because if you ever slack up, you got to let your boat go. And you don't want the people next door to know your boat gone. So you got to work and work. See, you got a good income. Most people sitting here tonight got a good income, but you're still broke. See? God has provided you with a good job. He provided you with that good job so you can be a good tither, a good giver. And so you make it the more, listen, we've been there. Man. Frank work at Wine. Donald, they make good boys making money. That boy making up some money. Making good money. But it was like, I get that money, have it Friday. And then me and my wife was married. I came home. I was at home. I wasn't in the street. Praise you, I was a tub of fella. She married a sinner anyway. Church didn't instruct her no better. But God had mercy and grace on her. Amen. Thank God for mercy and grace. I got saved the first year after I got married. Came on home, stayed home, never went back. Amen. Amen. But we've been there. What I was talking about before I got bothered when I got married. Oh, checks. Oh, yeah. Big checks. Carol and I are both bringing big checks home. And do not that thing wasn't, that, did that thing come, it was every other Thursday, wasn't it, Frank? That thing got there Thursday, Saturday. That thing took, I just took me something out and went and had me a little eat, you know. Somebody ain't getting something. I just took me into something out. I really was stealing because I just kept me. I said, and Carolyn would tell me, you can't have it. I said, no, well, give me 50.
have something in my pocket. I've been working all these 2 weeks. I mean, you know what I'm talking about. No extra. Getting further and further behind. That 50 needed to go somewhere, you know. I got to have 50 to front, you know. You don't need to act for no 100. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, good income, but yet you're still broke. Because you're robbing God, and you're not giving God the pleasure to do for you what he want to do for you. Are you listening to me? I got to get to this one, poverty because of prosperity. Poverty because of prosperity. I'm going to get to that one. Yeah, see, look at your face, how you're looking. I'm going to show it to you. Poverty because of prosperity. Now, but I'm going to give you one more before I get to that one. Turn to the 10th chapter, Mark. While you turn, I'm going to give you one more. Poverty because of receiving worldly interest. People putting God's money in the bank. Receiving a little interest on the money they got in the bank for rainy days, you know. So I know I've seen some things. Poverty because of prosperity. Now we're going to see how God rate giving here. In Mark chapter 10. You got your shouting clothes on?
Yeah.
It's Friday night. Everybody shout on Friday night. Don't have to go to work tomorrow, most of you. Now, we'll begin reading at verse 17 of the 10th chapter of Mark. And when he was going forward into the way, there came one running. See, running don't mean nothing to the Lord. Running. Just so you take out here and run around, you know, you done got happy. Tight thing, you're probably running on credit. You're probably running on credit. There you go. Oh, hallelujah, I got it. The Lord working me to take off and run. You really don't love the Lord. Running. Hallelujah. There he came done running. Kneeling don't move the Lord. And kneel to him. And ask him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? Good master. We got all kind of name, you know, we call it. And Jesus said to him, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. Now, I want you to notice this fellow life. Seemed like he got it all together. Well, he knew how to kneel. He knew how to run to Jesus. He called him good master. He got respect for it. Look what kind of lifestyle he portrayed. Thou knowest the commandment, do not commit adultery. Oh my. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Defraud not. Honor thy father and mother. Can you see that?
Yeah.
Now notice what he said. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these have I observed from my youth. This boy, he wasn't an adulterer. He didn't steal. He honored his father and his mother. Are you looking with me? Now we're talking about poverty because of prosperity. Some people got money living in poverty. Because if you got money, listen, if you got money and you deciding what you're going to do with that money yourself without consulting God, you're in poverty. Your bottom can fall out any minute. But a man or a woman who's lined up with God's word, there's no way for no bottom to fall out, because if that bottom go out, God will put another bottom in before you know the bottom went out. It is dangerous to be blessed and don't know it. It is dangerous to be blessed and do not show it to God that you appreciate him blessing you. Now listen to me. And I'll tell you, you can't split your tie and send it where you want. You like this TV minister, I'm going to send him 2%. And you like this fellow, I'm going to send him 2%. And I'm going to give 2% to charity. No, you can't. You have to put 10% where the food coming out to sprout. Now you send that charity anyway, that charity gonna have to be beyond your 10%. Hallelujah. Come on home here tonight. Now, this church is one of the most prosperous churches in this area. But I tell you what, if everybody was tithing, Lorraine, I don't know why I just keep calling you girl. Everybody was tithing in this church. My goodness. But you know only what percentage it is, honey, that somebody else, we didn't know. I never look it up here, but somebody said a small percentage. John Osteen, 7%? 17%. 17% of John Osteen Church is 85% of the giving of the income of the church. 17% give 85% of the millions of dollars he got coming in, but it's only 17% doing it. I don't like to look at it, me. I'd probably come out there and take my coat off. Just getting the flesh. Out of all this work I've done, taught you how to do the right thing, and you just say, no, you don't understand the spirit. Let's just fight. Let's scratch each other. Let's just scratch each other up, you know? Because we ain't learning nothing. Let's just scratch each other and get in worse trouble, you know? Because I want you to have it. Paul said, not because I desire a gift. He said, I'm full and I'll bound. God going to support Joe's ministry, pay setter, whether his members act right or not. God's going to send somebody to support it. But why let them get your benefit in your church? I'm talking about your local church. I'm not just talking about this church. You understand that? I'm not, it may seem like it because I'm a pastor here, but I'm not just preaching about tithes in this church. And I'm not really, it's not so much tithing I'm talking about. I'm talking about putting you in a sure place in your finances. See, this is a prosperity revival. I'm not talking about prayer. I'm talking about money. And we don't have problem praying. We have problem paying. That came out good, didn't it? Had no intent of saying it, but it came out just right. Let me say it again. We don't have no problem praying. We have problem paying. Absolutely. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now here's this guy who has prosperity, who claimed in verse 19 he lived a good life. And verse 20 he also said unto him, Master, all these things have I observed from my youth. Then Jesus, beholding him, loves him and said unto him, yeah, but this is just as important. Giving properly is just as important as not committing adultery. I want you to see the importance, the level, the credential that Jesus gives to giving. This boy said, I did not commit adultery, I do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. Jesus said, this is just as important. What I'm about to tell you. Say one thing you're lacking. Verse 21. Go thy way. See, Jesus said, I got to untie you from this money now. Go thy way. Sell. You told me about all your religious ideas, how much you love me now. Go thy way. Hear the test. Sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, take up your cross and follow me. Here's this guy who don't commit adultery. Here's this guy who do not steal, he steal. He do steal, he lied about that. He was stealing all the time. Here's this guy who don't lie, do not bear false witness, defraud not. Yeah, he's defraud. He's defrauding God of the right to do what he wants with his money. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now notice this.
Notice this. He's rich, sad, and grieved. That ain't true prosperity. We read about true we read about true prosperity in the 35th Psalm. Let them shout for joy and be glad, not grieve and sad. And I read about all those J. Paul Getty and all those people who had money. Howard Hughes died like a pauper. Died miserable. They were so worried about that money, they locked themselves up. And you got most of those movie stars who are making this big money. They don't have no life. They can't even go down to Baskin Robbins and get them a scoop of ice cream. They're scared and they're locked up. And they got all this luxury, but it's not doing them a good. There's nothing like a good walk in the yard. Yeah, free. See, money is not all it takes for prosperity, and you mess around and let money lock you up. That boy let money lock him up. That's why God can't let all y'all get some money, because that same money gonna lock you up. You're gonna become pride, boastful. You're gonna send your tithe where you want it. You're gonna split it up, and you're gonna talk about how big you are, or you're gonna be humble and quiet and not do what you're supposed to do. Are you listening to me? My God. My. Listen here, this man was sad. Look, we got some good news for you. I'm going to preach 16 more minutes. That'd be an hour and a half, right? You mess with me, we'll go 2 hours. You better come on, amen, come on up, amen. All right. I know how to get them amen, brother. Amen, Friday night. I'll preach to your favorite show go on. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You don't need to hear them. You need to hear me. Whoa. I don't know if I've done you any good. Just walking around here talking, I'll preach myself happy. I mean, I've gotten the presence of God. I'm telling you, I just preach myself happy. I just know what real prosperity is, and I know what God wants you to have, and I know you can have it, and I know you know how to get it, and I know you're going to get it. Jesus' name, in the name, I bind the most stingy spirit. And all them spirits been running Louisiana. We coming free in prosperity. And we're going to have a full supply. And we're going to be able to confess, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I'm a giver, therefore I'm a receiver. Bless God, I'm the head and not the tail. And I think I was thinking about, I never got to the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, but I'll think about Darrow. God said he'll bless you in the city and bless you in the field. We in the field. Yeah, I knew he meant what he said. We down here in Darrow in the field. He done mess around and bless us in the field. God will not lie to you. I believe that scripture. He said, I'll bless you in the city and in the field. I know it. I tell you, when them pastors come in from out of state, they say, man, this the field. I say, yeah. Well, he said, he'll bless you in the field. We in the field. We bless. Out here on the plantation. Oh, glory to God. He'll bless you on the plantation too. Wait a minute. We're not reading yet. We got to read this. Listen, we got to read this story, because here's something God said. In verse 22, and he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possession. Now, you know, that's not true. How many of you all know that's not true and know the answer to that? Don't raise your hand in my service now, because you're trying to be smart, because I want to make sure. No, I'll go on telling you that. He didn't have great possession. Great possession had him. Money is made to use. Money is not made to use you. Are you listening to me? Now let's read a little further. They talk about how broke the disciples were. Shook. The disciples were businessmen. And Jesus looked around about and said unto his disciples, ha ha, let shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God. Now some took that and said, well, you see, I don't want to be rich, because you see, Jesus said how hard it is for a rich man to go. How many ever heard that? Many, many rich folk gonna make it. You're gonna have a whole lot of rich folk. You're gonna have a whole lot of poor folks in hell. That is caught hell twice.
Just change the truth out of me. They caught hell on you and they went to hell. They never knew good life at all. But the master said in the book, he desired for us to have days of heaven on earth. Then we leave here and go on to heaven and never catch hell. Oh yeah, heaven, hell gonna be full of poor folk. I don't wanna go down there because it's full of poor folk. I don't wanna be there. That's one reason I don't wanna go. Some of y'all don't like that, I know it. Bless your darling heart and your stupid head. I'm trying to show you the way out. Try to put you under the sprout. You know, we look at men like Victor, or we look at men, you know, he a doctor. You know, doctors have a certain category, and he don't like for me to use him all the time, but it don't make no difference. He's my member, and that's what God sent him here for. And you look at him and say, well, you know, he's supposed to prosper. And you sit back there on the log. Or look at Anthony. He owned a drugstore, him and Jackie. They're supposed to prosper. Just because you don't own a drugstore, just because you're not a doctor, the Lord didn't say all doctors who give. Can you understand that? Are y'all listening? Somebody say, yeah, but my husband won't act right. Well, you go ahead and act right, and God's going to bless him for your sake. But you can't take that man money and tithe it without his consent. You mess around and lose a husband. Well, half of them anyway. Then let me straighten this out. I talked about the two checking accounts. You remember? Who was here with me earlier? Some of y'all got to have a separate checking account. I want to clarify that. If you got a husband not doing what's right, you can't put it all in one pot with him. Because he's not going to act right. So I know you got to hold your little something back. I'm just telling it out in the public. That's the truth. He gonna spend it all. I mean, just hold something back for you and the children. You'll give his gal all the money. That's all she want anyway. Fool. Yeah, that's why God bless me, I'm not afraid. Some gals want some money. Somebody, I love you, I want a dress. Got more little children hungry. He out there good timing and partying. I don't know how I got on this, Larry. You know, and their little children at home come to Christmas time, they got to get a little truck with the wheel off. And the other little children riding around on big old tractors and stuff. Amen. I got off over there. Who out there need this? Duck your head down. Now the Holy Ghost don't let me talk about nothing in the service for nothing reason. You know, I don't believe all y'all right. Y'all don't think I believe all y'all living right. I desire it. Oh, I ain't no fool. Oh, my goodness. You think I believe? Oh, my. You think you got me hookwinked? No, indeed, man. Don't show me that, Lord. Let me keep preaching to him. How about you? Don't show me nothing. Let me keep preaching. I like everybody holy. Yeah. Let me try to read this now. And Jesus looked round about and said to his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? Let's clear this up now. And the disciples were astonished at his words. Why were they so astonished? Because they were rich. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, well, let me hear them get this straight, boys. I'm not talking about your children. How hard it is for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. Then he goes and says, easier for a camel, and boy, a Baptist preacher can mess this up. Oh, he go to getting him a needle and a piece of thread. You know, even understand, I saw the eye of a needle when I was in Jerusalem. It's an opening that a camel has to bow on his knee to go through with no man on his back.
See, a man couldn't be on the dock. He got it just high enough for that camera to get in so the enemy can't come in. That's the eye of a needle. I preach it myself, boy. I thought you were talking about the eye of a needle, you know. Then that's the Baptist tell you that you can't go to heaven with riches. But I don't know, they keep picking up offering. It don't even, two or three of them, it don't even add up, you know. Some of this stuff's so dumb, if you just have good sense, you'll see, you know, that it's not right. Let's hurry up to a close now. Hallelujah. I don't know, I've had fun preaching tonight. It's easier for a camel to go through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man. Now, that's a man who trusts in riches, you understand it now, to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? Well, why would they say this? Who then can be saved if they were not rich? They had to have something. They wouldn't say it. Well, they say, they could have said, all us poor boys ago. No, he's talking about rich man. He said, well, what one of us can be, in essence, what one of us can be saved then? And the Lord had to help him. And Jesus looking upon them said, with men, it is impossible, but not with God. For with God, all things are possible. Then Peter, possible, that's right. Then Peter began to say unto him, lo, we have left all and have followed thee. Here's what I want to get to. Glory to God. This is where we were going. And Jesus answered and said, verily I say unto you, there's no man that has left house, a brother, a sister, sisters, a father, a mother, a wife, or children, or land. Now, you know, he's not talking about Jesus wouldn't make you commit adultery, or he wouldn't divide a marriage. He's talking about surrendering their life to him. For my name's sake in the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold. I like the Lord. Now, not when we get to heaven, now, in this time. I mean, now was good enough, but the Lord went on and said, in this time. Oh, how's it? How's this? You see that? And brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and land with persecution. So you don't let that bother you, you know. Just go on and enjoy what you have, because the persecution is supposed to come with it. Because the world mad, because you're not out there with them drinking and smoking and clowning and running women, and you're at home, but you're living better than them. And they're mad. So they got to persecute you. Just go on serving the Lord. And in the world to come, eternal life, but many of the first shall be last, and the last first. Let me go over a few things these last 4 minutes. You understand now poverty because of prosperity? He had prosperity in his money. But it wasn't doing him any good. Let me give you some excerpt quickly in these 4 minutes you hear. God, if you let him, will deal with debts, distress, discontentment, and creditor by giving you supernatural finances. All right? Are you hearing me? Creditors are hard on those who cannot pay their bill. There's a spiritual answer to debt. Then you must begin to use what you have wisely. Are you listening to me? We need a wider vision of what money is and what it's for. Hallelujah. Say, we need a wider vision of what money is and what it's for. Now, why money coming to the believer is to give seed to the source. I'm going back over this thing. God does not take pleasure
in the poverty of his children. Give away much and get more. God can command a blackbird to drop a $100 bill at your doorstep if he desired to. You remember that widow woman we talked about? God used a widow woman. Why didn't he use a rich man? Because he can get that woman attention. You still here? And I shared with you about the same windows that he opened for Noah, the same windows he want to open to you in heaven. Now, here's another one, because I think we talked about that today. God is not going to pay you to get out of his will. Let me say again, y'all wake up, listen to this. God is not going to pay you to get out of his will. Otherwise, he's not going to bless you to get out of his will. Oh, my good Lord. You didn't hear this yet. Did you? I see, I had a lot of notes I didn't get to in going through, but I'm going to give you this one and close out with it. A person who do not obey God about finances is hook on money like a person is hook on crack cocaine. Money has become a drug to you. Now, let's say this. Stand on your feet. We did good. Money cometh unto me.
Because my Father said so.
Therefore,
there will be no lack.
For preaching the gospel,
nor in my personal affair.
I'm not covetous
with the Lord blessing,
but I'm a covenant partner
with the plain
purpose
and will of God.
God is my source.
God is my supply.
Therefore,
I always
had
more
than enough.
Money
is not my master.
Jesus
is my master.
I master
and manage
my money
according
to the will of God.
Money
cometh.
Money
cometh.
Money
cometh.
I'll never be broke.
Another day in my life.
I'm coming out of debt.
I'm going to be financially free.
To meet my needs,
to have my desire,
to send the gospel
throughout the world.
My Father
want me
to be wealthy.
I agree with my Father.
From this day forward,
I set my heart
to be financially
stable
in all my ways.
I'll listen to the word of God.
I'll give,
and I know I'll receive.
I'll plant
and expect a harvest.
I'll sow
and reap.
Hallelujah.
Sit down just a few moments. Bow your head with me for a few moments.
Anything you receive from me, I have to lay groundwork for it. That you can be grounded and rooted in it when you receive it. But so many of my children want a quick fix. They want something instantly. Prosperity is too strong to be an instant matter. Prosperity can cause you to lose your soul. So therefore, I'm mindful in whom I pour out my riches upon. I want to make sure that they're able and that they're stable. That what was supposed to be a blessing would not turn out to be a curse to them. So therefore, my children, you're entering into a realm of knowledge that is scarce today.
Take that knowledge and let it become a revelation to you. Let it become truth to you. And then respond or give corresponding action to that truth. And as I said in my word tonight, I'll bring you out. I'll bring you out and I'll set you in a sure place that you can have joy. That your needs and your desires can be met. And that you can walk around as a walking blessing. Blessing others who have not received the revelation of my will for my children. So take it not lightly the thing that you're hearing. Take it not lightly that I've called this hour and this meeting together. For I've called this meeting together for to pour out my abundance upon those who have ears to hear and a heart to believe and to move out in that direction. It has been my desire in ages past and gone to secure my church, secure my children, to put them in a position not to turn to the beggarly elements of the world, but that they would trust me, El Shaddai. Trust me, Jehovah Jireh. Trust me, as Abram trusted me and left his kindred, left his home, and went out in a direction not knowing where he was going. But I made him rich. I made him very rich. And then he was able to support the things that I wanted supported. There are some of you here tonight that will enter into that arena and never come back out of it. And you begin to prosper and others begin to ask you a question. You begin to testify to them that revelation knowledge went into your heart. And you're a doer of the word, not only a hearer. And blessings begin to flow. You've heard the saying of common man that everything you touch will turn to gold. Well, if you listen to my word this very night, the things that you've heard over the week, things that you have sacrificed to get to, will be an avenue to bring you to that place of freedom and rest and joy and happiness. Fret not yourself because of what other people may say. They may call you foolish. They may laugh at you. They may point their fingers at you, but finally, I'm going to put you in an undeniable place. They'll quit pointing their fingers. Then they'll try to ignore you if they don't see you. But they know you're there. Because I will raise you up not according to the world system. I'll raise you above the world system, and the world system will not be able to touch you. I have what you call in my bosom. They used to call it the Abraham bosom. I have what it called in my bosom, what's called a sure place. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Get the revelation of that tonight. He that dwelleth in the secret place of financial stability abide under the shadows of my provision. Get that in your spirit tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God.
Dr. Leroy Thompson is the president and founder of Ever Increasing Word Ministries, an outreach ministry of the Word of Life Christian Center in Darrow, Louisiana. For more information on this dynamic teaching ministry, visit our website at www.eiwm.org. Or you can write Dr. Thompson at P.O. Box 7, Darrow, Louisiana, 70725.